invite you into the scriptures this morning. Our scripture reading is going to come from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of Christians called the Corinthians. It's going to be the second letter that is in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians. And we are going to start at chapter 10, move down to verse 3, continue through verse 5. I'm going to be reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard edition is the standard version, is the updated edition of that particular Bible, but you do not have to follow along with that. You follow along with your favorite translation as well. But again, it's 2 Corinthians starting at chapter 10 and beginning at verse 3. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes. Indeed, we live as humans, but do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord, we do give you thanks for these words that you are speaking in our midst. We give you thanks, O God, for the power that these words have, the power to offer a brand new life to each of us. And we pray that as our hearts come together and as we meditate upon these words, Lord, we pray that you will give us enough courage, O Lord, to allow you to shape our very lives, to shape our hearts, to shape our thoughts, to shape, Lord, the experiences that we have in this world, so that we may draw closer to you. And, oh God, I thank you for the words that you have spoken to me, and pray and ask, Lord, that as I speak this morning and that as I preach, I pray the words that I share, that they will be pleasing and that they'll be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, and the one who saves us. Amen. I've got to admit that there is a particular phrase I was just sharing with you after the children's moment, just this one bit of knowledge that I have. But I've got to say that this particular phrase, the one that the great people that are in the tech nest that were able to project for us, how many of you have ever heard of this before? Sunday scaries. You may not have heard of it in church before, but it's a phrase that if you've not heard of it, I was really late. I was very, very late to come to this. But it is this idea that as you come, that as you're living and as you're coming to this place, like on a Friday afternoon, then you go through Saturday, then you go through Sunday, that there's something that happens on Sunday. Maybe it happens, you know, mid-afternoon. Maybe it happens late afternoon. Maybe it happens when you go to sleep at night. And just this overwhelming feeling about, you know, I've had a great weekend, but now I've got to get back to the week. You know, I've got to get back to either school, I got to get back to work, I've got some appointments that are coming up, I've got some meetings that are happening. And so this is the idea. It is this idea that there's this kind of anxiety or this kind of dread or this kind of just general uneasiness that happens you know, on a Sunday afternoon. If you've never heard of this and you're thinking, well, now I've got one more thing to worry about, that's why I'm here. That's what I'm trying to offer you on this morning. One of the things about it, and you know those things, you never know the stuff that you don't know. I even saw this because I've been working on this for a couple of weeks. I've been working on this message for a couple of weeks. But I'll give you one more so this can up the ante too. What about September scaries? I saw an article just this week and already wrote this out and saw an article, and it was the same idea about this kind of anxiety, this kind of unease about this. And so, you know, it's the only difference being that it was the summer. You know, I've went through the summer, I've had a good summer. Oh, but now it's September, so I got to get back to real work. I've got to get back to what I'm involved in. But this idea about, you know, those things that make us a little bit uneasy, those things that do at times sort of grab us and make us dread the next day, those things that sort of wrap their arms around us, cause that anxiety to go up. Have you ever noticed that if we think about it, that it can have a direct impact on our outlook. That if we just think about something that's scary, if we think about this kind of dread, that it can directly influence our outlook. And that's what I want us to do. That's what I want us to focus on today, is that how our thinking does this, how our thinking can influence our outlook. And if we're thinking about this, if we're thinking about, you know, our own thinking, the stuff that happens in our own minds, what about a number like this? What about a number like 6,000? That number, 6,000 thoughts per day, is about the number of thoughts. Now, there is some variation in this, some studies that have some variations, but Nature Communications in 2020, they pretty much boiled down to this and said, on average, the majority of us have about 6,000 thoughts per day, that is the number of thoughts that we have in a single day. What do you think about this number? That on average that we have this many thoughts every single day. And there's some that are negative, but there's a lot of them that are positive. There are some that are helpful. There are some that are probably not so helpful. Some are scary. Some that are not scary at all. Some that even inspire us at times. But what do we do? If this is really true, if our thoughts can affect our outlooks, and if we have all of these thoughts that are swirling around our heads, if we've got all this stuff that is moving around our heads, what do we do about this? All these thoughts that are racing around, what can we do about these thoughts? Well, this is where the New Testament is extraordinarily helpful. And particularly, this is where these few words that we were gathered around with the Apostle Paul this morning in his second letter to the Corinthians, this is where it's extraordinarily helpful. Because as we are reading this particular passage, the Apostle Paul encourages us, probably encouraging a whole lot more than I've done up to this point standing here this morning. But he encourages us and he says, consider not only our thoughts and our outlook, but the Apostle Paul invites us, he says, consider this. Consider all that we have. As Christians, we have divine power to destroy strongholds. And at the very end of our reading today, this is where he gives us this tremendous insight about how we even do that, how we employ that divine power, how we begin to shake those strongholds that are able to build up in our lives. And it's with this: take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, I got to admit to you, That phrase, that particular phrase, and I guess this is probably not brand new to any of you. Have you ever heard this phrase that emerges out of the New Testament, take every thought captive? I mean, that is a really powerful phrase. It's the one that gets quoted oftentimes. But I got to tell you, this particular phrase, and this is where it comes from 2 Corinthians, this was another one. I was a long time. I really didn't know what to do with this. I really didn't know how to get into this. I really didn't know, how do I not only read this verse and memorize this verse, but how do I take something like this and how do I put it into practice? How do I live as a Christian around this? And so it was a long time before I really knew what to do with this. In 2020, there were not only these studies that were emerging, as I was saying, about how many thoughts we have in our head at a time, but we were also in the middle of a COVID pandemic. How many of you know Headspace? That is a meditation app. And in 2020, I didn't know what Headspace was until 2020. All of a sudden, what this was is an app that's on your phone, it's an app that's on your tablets, it's an app that comes up. It's a meditation app is essentially what it was. And all of a sudden, 2020, do y'all remember one of the big things that was happening in 2020 as we come into, after January, after February, as we come into March and spring, came into a global pandemic. This is when COVID came. Headspace is a meditation app that until then, it was kind of background noise. I kind of had heard about it, but had definitely never downloaded it, definitely never ever used it on my own. But all of a sudden, this became open for free to healthcare workers during a global pandemic like COVID was. Clearly, I'm not a healthcare worker, right? I'm married to a healthcare worker, and so I downloaded this app, and I downloaded this Headspace app on this. And you know what? One of the first things, and this is crystal clear to me, because I thought, okay, this is going to be an app. It's going to talk about meditation. Now, I really didn't know what that was going to involve. I didn't know what that was like. But I did know that in this kind of place that I was trying to figure out, what are we going to do during this time? And as I was trying to figure out, well, maybe a little bit more peace and a little bit more calm could be helpful as I'm a leader in the church during this time, I went on it and thought, well, this is going to teach me how to be quiet. It's going to teach me how to be still. It's going to teach me how to be calm. You know what came up? This image that was crystal clear. Did any of you notice? I know this is like a children's moment kind of question. Did any of you notice the sky this morning? Did you notice how blue it was? How many of you saw clouds this morning on the way? Yeah, that's Melanie. I'm so glad you're shaking your head no like that, because I didn't either. I absolutely love days like that when there are absolutely no clouds. I love those beautiful mornings, particularly in the morning. It's one of those things that I enjoy most. But on this Headspace app, and again, it was on my computer and on this Headspace app, when I was clicking on that app like that, you know what immediately started to come when I was thinking this is going to teach me how to, you know, sit still and be less anxious, when it's going to teach me how to sit still and have a little bit more peace and a little bit more calm in my app? You know what came up? This cartoon of showing a blue sky. This cartoon of showing a blue sky that was moving, and then these clouds. They were coming in and they were coming out. They were coming in and coming out. And so this is not the morning that we've experienced this morning, but it was this idea of blue skies and these clouds that were moving and moving and moving. And then this Headspace app was talking about the thoughts that happen in our heads, the thoughts that we carry in our heads. And one of those interesting things, and I could talk to you for a long time about this, because since about 2020, I've paid more attention to this. But essentially what it was doing is it was inviting me, sitting in front of my computer in spring of 2020, in the midst of the COVID pandemic, to imagine the thoughts that are running around in my head. At that time, when I was sitting at my computer, I was not thinking about the Apostle Paul's words of take every thought captive. I was not thinking about my head on an average day has 6,000 thoughts that are running around in it. But what this cartoon in front of me on a computer screen was inviting me to do was to pay attention. Not to all my thoughts, but it said, notice this. Imagine a blue sky, and imagine seeing a blue sky, and then imagine those clouds that are floating in and floating out, those clouds that are coming in and coming out. And it said, those are your thoughts. And imagine what happens when we are able to pay attention to those thoughts that are coming in and coming out of our own minds, of our own thoughts. Now, what I did know, what I was not practicing either, but what I did know is that in Psalm 19, verse 14, we have another really famous group of words that says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, how many of you can fill in the blank, be acceptable unto you, right? That's what, but the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. And it's this that the Apostle Paul is also inviting us to see, something that thousands of years before Jesus, thousands of years before Paul, that there were people that were writing in the scriptures that were inviting us to pay attention to the meditations of our hearts. What we're thinking, what we're pondering, what we're considering in our own hearts, and noticing how those affect our words and the lives that we live together. See, in fact, what Psalm 19, 14 reminds us is that as we meditate in our heart, that there is a direct correlation to the words that come out of our mouths, that there is a cause and effect. Another example of this that continues to come, and even Jesus will pick up on this, the very things that we ponder, the very things that we consider, the very things that we ponder and consider and then take them in our hearts, they come out and they're expressed in our words. And not only Psalm 19, but other places in the Scripture. Psalm 46, for example, will remind us to be still and know that I am God. And when we're able to do that, when we're able to sit in a place with our own thoughts, and when we're able to notice our thoughts as they're coming in and as they're going out, as they're becoming present to us, and maybe we're becoming aware of some of those thoughts for the very first time, that when we meditate, when we steal our minds, the psalmist reminds us that's in fact the very place that we discover God's presence. It's the very place that we are able to discover God's presence. Now again, in my own experience of coming to discover this, of coming to know a lot of this, I remember this one time. Now, that verse that says, be still and know that I'm God, it says for us to be still. Doesn't mean we sit still. Now, I will tell you another surprising place that I was at, and this is going all the way back to 2020 also, I'd be more distinct in that. But it was, as we had come into the spring, as we had come into the summer, there were these things that started emerging. There were these numbers that started emerging as a leader in the church, as a pastor serving in that church, and trying to discover. I know some of my leadership team, we never got access to the COVID playbook. We never knew how to run a church during COVID. You know, it was one of those things that we were making it up as we were going along. So we never had that. But one of the things that I started noticing, and some of my other colleagues started noticing, is that this amazing thing that happened, that as we were shifting, as we were moving more towards screens, there were people that were in our church. There were people pastors and leaders were part of it, but people in our church, we started hearing these crazy numbers where someone would say, hey, you know, I spent one day this week, I was 10 hours on a Zoom meeting. Zoom is an electronic platform. Zoom is one of these things where you have your camera, everybody else has their camera on their computer, their phones, or whatever, their tablets, and you're able to see each other. So he said, I spent 10 hours on Zoom, I spent 12 hours on Zoom, I spent 14 hours on Zoom. Literally, people are saying, you know, we spent in a single day is 14 hours in Zoom meetings trying to wonder about this. And so we were in some continuing education, once again on the Zoom platform, in some continuing education, also wondering, what do we do with this? What do we do about this? I will say this, because what was beginning to happen too is that there was a great deal of Zoom fatigue. How many of you remember that phrase? It was this uneasiness as similar to those Sunday scaries. And so as leaders in the church trying to understand how do we minister to people in this moment? I remember someone leading a continuing education thing that was happening. I said, you know, being still, that's what God asks us to do, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we sit still. And it was a shift in this psalm. The shift in Psalm 46:10, because I had this very serene, very pastoral image of this. Be still and know that I'm God. That means that what I've got to do is I've got to sit down someplace and I've got to be perfectly still. I've got to be perfectly silent. And then all of a sudden what's going to happen is God's presence is just going to surround me. That I'm going to be still. I'm going to sit still. I'm going to be there. God's presence is going to surround me, and that is going to uplift me enough to know that the next time I've got to be on a Zoom meeting for 6-7 hours, that stillness is just going to completely transform and change my life. That's not what happens. It's not what happens. And so I was shifted in this continuing ed by a coach that says this and said, you know, have you ever paid attention to it? Be still doesn't mean necessarily that you're sitting still. In fact, being able to be still and know that God is present with us is being able to do exactly what the Apostle Paul is inviting us to do, which is to take every thought captive. Imagine what happens. Imagine what happens when we are able to capture a thought. Imagine what is able to happen when we are able to capture a thought that makes us scared, that makes us anxious, that makes us uneasy about the next week, the next day, or even just uneasy about just sitting down like this, sitting in a space like this. To capture every thought doesn't mean that we had to have a meditation app. Doesn't mean that we've got to log hours on Zoom in continuing education. Doesn't even mean that to capture every thought means that we've got to live through a global pandemic. Although every single one of us in the room, not so sure about people online, but every single one of us have had that collective experience. We have lived through a global pandemic. But to be able to capture every thought is the way that God has created us. Now, what Paul will continue to try to work out with the Corinthians, and I think what is extraordinarily helpful for us, is that capturing every thought doesn't come easy for a lot of us. Doesn't come natural for even a lot of us. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to share about some of the struggles that I've had about it. But because it's not easy doesn't mean that it's not impossible. And if this is something that you have well under your belt, if it's something that you're able to engage in, where you're able to capture those thoughts, I hope this is helpful. But if you've never tried this before, if you've never tried, and if you've never really taken those words of Scripture and tried to put them into practice, I want to invite you into just one place. It's a Scripture that emerges. It's extraordinarily hard to live by. But it's a Scripture that emerges out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and sin not. This is what James is doing. Happening in Ephesians is that Paul is writing to the Ephesians and very much trying to do this hands on the ground work. You heard me just slip and say James. James in the New Testament will kind of get into this similar work too. How many of you remember be doers of the word and not just hearers? This is where James. That's James as there, and that's what's been swirling around my head too this morning. One of the thoughts that's been going in my mind. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, be angry and sin not. And just notice what happens when we start to get angry. What happens in your own body when you start to get angry? What do you notice? What are some of the things that you feel? A lot of times we do. Sometimes it will. Sometimes it'll just rise up on us and we don't know. But a lot of times we do notice some things. We notice our body starts to react in a certain way. We notice that there's certain feelings that are there. What would happen? What would happen if we notice that? If we notice those feelings of anger that start to rise up in our bodies, what would happen if we captured that thought? Again, you know, some of you may be experts at this, but imagine if we did this. Imagine if we were able to capture, and if you've never tried it, to capture that angry thought. What happens when we capture that thought? It may not be possible, but remembering and trying and experimenting, what if we capture that angry thought and then our outlook, which then results our outlook that we have in our mind, we take that angry thought, we capture it, and then our behavior actually starts to change. We've all of a sudden experienced a different outlook, and now our behavior, we're living a little bit different. That's something that I want you to try. Again, does it take COVID? Does it take a meditation out for me to be completely different? But what happens when we capture that angry thought and it doesn't lead us to sin? That is, it doesn't lead us to storm out of the room when the people we love and the people we care about, that we're able to sit with them. Even when we're angry and when it's building up in that, we've captured that angry thought, we're able to sit and even do that thing that is almost impossible when we are angry, that we're able to listen and actually able to hear them. What happens, if you've been part of Wednesday night, you will know this is challenging for me too, but what happens when we're driving? And then somebody does something that's really not wise in front of us. On Sunday nights, I will say, on Wednesday nights, when it's not just in a space like this, I will say when another driver does something stupid, but Sunday morning, we'll say unwise. That's an unwise thing. And that we know that they should be paying more attention. But what happens when we capture that angry thought? Just on the road. And it doesn't lead us to sin. What happens when we do? When we capture that angry thought, and we're able to sit, and we're even able to ask for forgiveness from that person that we love. You know, where the angry thought hasn't led us to sin, that is to just cross our arms and just walk away, but actually to ask for that forgiveness that we know we both desire. Well, the Apostle Paul would remind us. The Apostle Paul would remind us that in each one of those instances, the Apostle Paul would remind us that if we are doing that, if we are capturing every thought, if we're capturing those angry thoughts, and it doesn't lead us to sin, he will say that this is what we're doing. We're waging a war that is well beyond our human standards. This is where we started with 2 Corinthians. He would say that we are involved in that war that is way beyond our human standards. The Apostle Paul would remind us, he says that we are even empowering, that we are even employing the kind of divine power that Jesus has offered to us. And says that when we are able to be angry and sin, not to capture that angry thought and not let it lead to sin, that we are able to destroy strongholds. And just think about it. How many strongholds do get built over and over through anger? How many times have we fell into that trap of being angry rather than capturing that angry thought and using the divine power that God has given us? God's created all of us. God's created every single one of us with the capacity to capture thoughts. It's the way that God's made us. It's the way that God's designed us, that we have the opportunity, we have the ability. Paul would remind us, we even have the teaching for it. Our thoughts do. Our thoughts do affect our outlooks. Our thoughts affect our minds. And because of our outlooks and because of our minds, that's our behavior. It's the way that we live. And so you do not have to be an expert in meditation. You do not have to have hours of continuing education. All of us have been equipped by God to capture the thoughts. That's the way God's designed our minds. That's the way God's designed our brains. Yeah, there are 6,000 or so thoughts that are floating around, coming in and out of our minds every single day. But imagine the difference. Capturing the angry ones. Imagine the difference capturing the loving ones. Imagine the difference in capturing the happy ones, the joyful ones. And the power, the divine power, and the strongholds that can be destroyed just by that. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank you for the sheer divine power that you allow us to have access to in each and every one of our lives. Lord, we pray this morning that you will let us take every thought, or even if we begin with just a single thought, but let us take those thoughts captive. And let us, oh God, as we capture those thoughts, may those thoughts be shaped by you. And may we, oh God, as your own people, may we have opportunities, Lord, to feel anger, to not let it lead to sin. We pray and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And as